This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, we're in conversation with Kwang Ing Oh, Group Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director, MI Technovation Berhad, as we understand how this semiconductor equipment and material business operator has been able to thrive throughout the pandemic amidst the multitude of challenges it's facing. You are one of the big four, and I don't mean the accounting firms. I mean the big four of automated testing equipment manufacturers. But when I look at your share price, your P multiple, your ratio is about 40 to 42. And if I compare to the other three, Pentapasta, Vitrox, Greytech, they're in the high 50s and low 60s. Why does the market not love you so much compared to your peers?
To me, I look at the P ratio when you talk about 40s and 60s. When we talk about these two numbers, actually both are at the high side. Okay, to a certain extent, the variation is very high at the 40 times of P or in above. So when we look at, they are doing specific in certain area, and I believe that the rest of the company, they are starting to deliver the profit. Okay, so they are focused on their business and they are costing down and start to deliver the PAT. So they deflect on their potentials and also deflect the earning power that they have, so they can get higher speed, I believe so. But whereas for MI Technovation, I apply the logics of that we want to looking at a long term growth. We are not looking at the short-term PAT or the profit. So when we start our business in the year of 2007, so we struggled for 2 years, 7 and 8, then at the year of 9, then we only decide products that we want to build our standard product, the first one. So we set a 10-year roadmap from 09 to 18. We want to get our company get listed in 2018.
Okay, so you're saying MI Technovation has a very different future growth trajectory compared to the other three. That's what you're saying, isn't it? That the rest have decided to fast track their short-term growth, but you are in a bit of the slow and steady race. Can you just help me understand and contrast the difference between these three and you? What kind of products that they are doing that you are not doing?
I think they are probably, to our peers, they are participate in the 100-meter sprint. We are participate in the marathon. So different nature of the game.
What are the different products that differentiate you? How are they different from you that gives them a higher valuation?
Okay, they are in the same. We are almost at the same. You talk about Vitrox, you talk about the Penta, and you talk about the Greytech, our peers. We are same. We are making equipment, but they are more focused on equipment. But for MI Technovation, we are looking at more multiples, more product portfolio. So we not only involved in the equipment, but we also involved in the materials. And we have two more business units coming up. So we are more integrated. So we want to make our base bigger.
So you're saying your diversification actually gives you some stability, but because of that sense of broader diversification, you're just not getting the valuations as high as what the rest are doing, right? Who are a bit more single-minded and focused, is that correct?
It could be correct to a certain extent. You look at it, how you get the variation. People are looking at your earning ability, how best you can earn in the future. So they give you highest of variation.
Okay, so then let me just talk about your share price, right? Because in June, you did a share buyback about 5% of your shares. One would say that actually it's all gone back to square one, isn't it? Because it did see some appreciation from 330 to 435, but now you're back at 335.
Okay, to a certain extent that we didn't go into to really controlling and pushing for the share price. I let the market to decide what kind of share price is. We're sharing our ideas. We're sharing our growing path, and we're also sharing our directions. But to a certain extent, market require a more short-term or in quarter basis that they want to see the result. But when we are apply the long term, more emphasis on the long term growth to build up the foundations, they may not able to participate today. So when they are not able to participate today, so it may not able to drive the share price going up.
So we're going to talk about your long term technology roadmap, because you have a 10-year technology roadmap that you've actually drawn up. But I want to talk about the short term, right? Your quarter three results, you double your revenue, profit was up 60% if you look at the quarter three numbers. My question to you is, doubling the top line but profit margin dropped from 19% to 16%. 20%. Tell us what's happening there. Why is there such a big push up in the top line, but a deterioration in the bottom line margin?
So to a certain extent, that we, when we are doing our business, we grow our top line, means that we are open our market. We have bigger market share. We are participating more things and we get market share. So you'll make money. You're earning money. But when you earn money, the time there's two options for you. One is to keep it as a PAT, keep it at the company. The other one is that you need to spend it.
Yep.
You spend money to grow more potential. Okay. So to a certain extent, that these 10 years, we are growing from one entity in Penang to grow it to, for the equipment, go it to be the BU, a business unit, semiconductor equipment business unit. And we have four entity now. We have four operation sites in China, Korea, and Taiwan. All these need money before they can make profit. So we spend more money.
So this is an investment. And am I correct to say that actually, do you foresee this growth trajectory to double your revenue year on year, the likely scenario for the next 2-3 years? And will you be able to retain your profit margin, or do you see further pressure there? Because the question is, when you further expand, you need to do more investments, correct me if I'm wrong, will we see compression in margins?
It won't be always expansion. There will be a certain cycle. We have certain cycles when the cycles, the expansion cycle is finished and it starts generate the revenue, then it will suit up. Our PAT will suit up when, because more entities start contributing to the bottom line. Yes, they are start contributing to the top line, and but now we need to build people. We need to build the talent pools. We cannot expect them to hire anybody that today coming in, tomorrow they will start contributing and make profit. It's impossible. We need time. And in the semiconductor industry, from my experience, that for a startup company or startup a new product, that it probably will take 3 to 5 years stabilize, to get the people and the products matured, then they'll start contributing.
Tell me what the size of the business will look like, right? What does the financials look like next year in 23, 25? And what kind of profit margins and revenue do we expect to see next year and in 2 years' time?
A good question. I think we apprised the BSI, the balanced stakeholder interest policies during our 10 years roadmap. Means that we want to balance. We don't want to put everything still in the PAT. Okay, so we give more to our employee, and we also go and review the pricing that we give to our supplier. And also we'll review that our product, the value of our product to our customer. At the same time, we want to keep a reasonable profit for the shareholder. So to a certain extent, when we are in the expansion mode, so we probably will deliver around 15 to 20% of PAT. But when we are in the stabilized mode, means that all the expansion that start coming, the harbors and start coming back, the making money, then we will be probably at 25 to 30.
So you plan to double the margin. So you will hit it at a time when your revenue basically kind of grows but stabilizes at a steadier rate, then that helps you deliver the higher margins. Where is that driving? Because at the moment, you have two core businesses. You have the semiconductor equipment business, and then you have the also material businesses. The material business contributes about 30% of your turnover, and the 70% is on equipment. Tell me the margins. How are they different between both businesses?
For the margins, why? I think the equipment still having a slightly big, higher margin. But equipment have a rapid, more aggressive expansion. So probably they, both of them now, they are at about 15 to 20%. Material margin used to be, because it's a commodity, so in their industry, there could be a lower. So the highest that can achieve probably at the 20. But for equipment, the highest that you can achieve probably more than 30. So that is the difference. But for materials, they are more stable. But for equipment, the more volatile. Means that there's no expansion, there's no order for your equipment.
Now you have two key transactions that you took place, right? Last year in 2021, you acquired Taiwanese firm Arcurus Scientific for about 271 million ringgit. Tell me the rationale behind the acquisition.
So we have been talking to this Arcurus since 2017 and 18. We're talking to them and we are monitor how the business, and we know they are making the cellular ball and we are making the die sorter in the advanced packaging. We both in the same area, same scope of the business. So we have a common customer and we always interact with each other because we are handle the wafer level. So on the wafer level, there's a solder board they're making by Arcurus. So that's very important for us to work closely with them, how we handle their product and make sure that we don't damage it. So we have been interact for many years. So they say we can pair together. They also believe the pairing with the equipment and the material will give a better synergy.
Why do an acquisition? Why not just work on a commercial partnership? Why is it so important to have an equity stake on each?
When we are coming to this, I think a very good example is that we need to create an internal, a more integrated ecosystem. See, today, what Chinese doing and what Americans doing, everybody are selecting their camp. Which camp you want to join? They are putting up the camp. Why? right. You can be very open and globalized and continue. But does it happen today? No. Actually, yeah, the new ecosystem post-pandemic are changing. They are changing to a more localized, regionalized, and also more country. They want to have everything within their control.
Yep.
And that's the reason that we want to have it together.
You made a very interesting point about we see this world, which is increasingly becoming more localized, where people want to have their solutions within the markets they're in. And I think you're alluding to China being the big market here. Would it be fair to say that from MI Technovation, the focus is China going forward, that actually it's important to provide and deliver for China?
I think China is one of our focus, but it will not everything. Probably it will take out about 30% to 40% that the weightage, let's say you're asking me. Mm-hmm. So I probably that China will be taking up 30 to 40%, but the rest of the world will be taking out about 60 to 70% of the market share.
On The Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Kwang Ing Oh, Group Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director at MI Technovation. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On The Breakfast Grill, we have with us Kwang Ing Oh, Group Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director at MI Technovation. He's in the hot seat as we discuss how they plan to grow. Now, Kwang Ing, you've been talking about this 10-year technology roadmap, 2019 to 2028, 3 years into it already. You started off with equipment, and then now you got into the materials business, and you are also having a third pillar, the solutions business. Tell me the roadmap from 2022 onwards to 2028. You've got another 6 more years left.
It's better for me to tell you the entire 10 years to max in a very brief way. For 10 years, we start in 2019 to 2028. So every 2.5 years, we are getting one business unit into the picture. Means that divide the 10 years to 2.5 years, four phase. So the phase one, we have the equipment business unit. The second phase, that we having the equipment and the material business unit coming in the picture. So after the 2020, and by end of 2023 is the first 5 years is completed. We have two business units. I think this one we achieve already. What we want to achieve by 2023, we are almost there already. So by 2024, our third business unit will be coming to the picture. So in the second half of 2026, our fourth business unit will be coming to the picture. Then until 2028, we have four business units. But doesn't mean that when we are getting new business unit, the rest of the business unit is stagnant there. So we call it, when we are increasing the business unit, we call it horizontal expansions. Means that my job is to make horizontal expansions. And each of business unit, we have their presidents and the vice president to taking care of the business unit. So they're not only doing one product, they are doing more product. Like for equipment business unit, we call it SEBU, Semiconductor Equipment Business Unit. So they start with one product in Penang. It's a die sorter, the pick and place product. Now they are starting the inspections equipment in Taiwan. They are starting the advanced bonding machine in Korea. And they are starting the final test, advanced final test, even die level final test product in China. So this is called vertical expansion. Within the BU, they're getting more product. So we do horizontal expansion and as well as the vertical expansions. Okay. So the vertical expansion will be run by the business unit. Horizontal expansion will be run by the corporate. That means that the CEO and the CFO will expand the more business unit.
What is your growth pathway? What we've seen is that you are in the process of acquiring businesses. Are you planning to continue acquiring businesses, or is the pathway to organically build teams in the fourth pillar and such, right?
I think it's a mixture of this. It's organic and inorganic growth. We have both. So for the SCBO, we are start organic growth. We have our own products and continue other products is all organic growth. So the SCBO is a purely organic. For SMBO, yes, we get them into our group, but within the BU itself, within the BU, actually, they also coming out new products. We also consider that is organic growth. We are not going to acquire. But from time to time, in order for us to jumpstart in certain area, we need to do a little bit of acquisitions. And we don't want to demand the wheel, you see. If let's say Acurus doing the solder ball, and we set up another company to do the solder ball, we just increase the more surprise to the market and causing the damage on the selling price. Why not we just partner together, then become under a corporate. So MI Technovations is a corporate or is a organization, a platform for all these people that they get together, then we can make it more strong.
A loose-ish network form. So, and that's why I want to ask you about this fourth business unit, right? Because there's this talk that you're looking at commercial electronic products for the mass market with high technology content. That is a hard market to compete with, isn't it?
Not really true. You look at Dyson's, they make vacuum cleaners. But by the time they make the vacuum cleaners, there's plenty of vacuum cleaner in the market. It's very competitive. And the price is, the margin is no good. But they can change using the newest or a better idea to offer a better solution. We do not need to invent new applications. We do not need to. We can, based on the old applications, we just need to make our products much better and much efficient. So to a certain extent, for a businessman, you do not need always track your head to think of a new application. You do not need to. You just, based on the existing application, you just need to change it to make it more interesting and you have feel better.
And change, you mean being the brand and brand positioning, is it?
It's not brand. It's how feeling, it's the experience, the user experience.
How do you plan to differentiate yourself? Because I don't see the synergies between this versus the other three, right? Are there really any synergies, like any shared platforms or expertise that you can bring across between this pillar versus the other three?
To a certain extent, electronics products, which one do not need a semiconductor chip? I think all need. Okay. Even though Apple is making handphones, they also making their own chip. They're making handphones, they're making electronic gadgets, and slowly making their own chipset and also making their own chip design. Why? Because they need to have the integrators.
So you're doing the reverse. You're actually basically leveraging on the chips to then introduce and release products. You're doing a reverse of what Apple's doing.
Yeah, something similar.
Okay.
What you say?
With these four pillars, what does it mean for the business? How does the business look like in 10 years then? In 2028, tell me revenue, profit, what does it look like? Are we talking about the 25-30% margin?
I think the top line is to be able to more than 1 billion.
1 billion in terms of top line revenue. That is, but to be, if you look at your numbers, that CAGR growth isn't so big, isn't it? 1 billion, you should be targeting more.
It's not good for me to disclose now.
All right. Well, we know that it has to be stretched and more ambitious than the 1 billion. That's not enough. Let me just get your perspective on what is very key. You know, when you look at the four pillars, I think what is very clear and necessary is R&D. The scale and size of R&D is very important for MI Technovation, right? Hence the technology innovation, the name behind it. So end of 2020, you had 5 patents granted, 22 patents pending, 2 patents in drafting stage. Tell me now, end 21, early 2022, where are you in terms of your patents?
For the patents, why we are, will be keep increasing, but we also need to very carefully. We are not blindly to changing for the patents. Okay. So to a certain extent, the patent is a two meanings. One is for you to protect your design. Means that you try to let people know this is your design and you don't want to let people to copy. But the other purpose of the patent is to make sure that we know something in our effort of the R&D. We just want to log it, means that we only can do this and later we can license out our patent and all this to share. But it's too early for you to put out a lot of patent. Actually, you are telling the rest of the people the ideas.
Okay, yeah. but still back to the question, the 22 patents pending, how many have been granted so far?
Okay, I think for this, I do not have the numbers now, but I think it all depends on the authority for them to do the sharing. Sometimes they can be very fast to grant us, but sometimes they take longer time, maybe more than 3 years to do all this. So in average, they're probably 3 years, they only can grant a patent after we submit, after we file it.
How much do you spend on R&D?
R&D, everybody was thinking that when you're spending R&D, you just spend it off, right? So for us, in our group, the SEBU or the SMBU, we call this one called effective R&D. Means that effective R&D is we try to collaborate with our customers and we also collaborate with some institutions to make sure that our prototype, we're able to sell it when it's successful. So we won't use the money just to build prototype machines and later we need to scrap it. For example, we built our first LED machine in Korea together, our internally together with our customers and our customers and end users. So three parties are working closely together and finally we saw first piece of prototype machine. So we have a very good return. So our R&D costs are very low. Okay. So to a certain extent, we probably only allocate that in our calculation. We are looking at about 1% of the top line for us to work into the R&D. But that is only those amount that we will just expense off 1%. Behind the end project, it could be very big.
Is it to get talent to do R&D in Malaysia?
That is, I think, we can't get everything in one place. Malaysia have their own talent taboo in certain area, especially in those high-speed machine makings and also the pick and place and more toward the back ends. But when you are going to the more front ends, that you are involving the process, you are involving the materials, then you're quite difficult to get the talent in Malaysia. So we need to open and go to somewhere else.
Is that why you invested in Taiwan and China? Because you could get the talent pool there, which you couldn't get in Malaysia.
Korea as well. We get very good Korea teams. Actually, we have the internal technology forums. We have using all the different entities. They will gather together to exchange some information. So actually, the Korean team and helping the Malaysia team to overcome some of the vibration issue. Okay, based on their know-how, based on their knowledge, actually, we overcome. So we're making our Penang product much better. But the Penang also sharing the how to be handled in the high-speed situation, how the motion is to our Korean team, then they can improve their throughput as well. So I think this collaboration or the sharing the forum within our internal group actually helps us a lot.
Do you think the next generation of Malaysian engineers and scientists can do the work that what the Koreans, Japanese and Taiwanese are doing now?
I think for individual, look at it, everybody is the same. Malaysians are Korean, we are all the same. Okay. The only thing is that the environment. Do you have the environment in Malaysia and need this kind of machine? If they say we do not have this kind of environment, then nobody will interested to go into study and learning. Okay. So in Malaysia, we are very focused on the back end, the final test, and as well as the inspections. But we do not have much on the advanced packaging. When we talk about 2.5D, 3D packaging, we talk about the wafer fab, we talk about the bumping house, you almost don't have in Malaysia. So when you do not have this kind of environment, then it's very difficult for the people to get involved, to have this kind of knowledge and to build the equipment. So there's no it's not like is it Malaysians or Korean? No, it's just have this kind of environment or do not have this kind of environment. But definitely, you want to find talents to farm durians. I think you can find everywhere. Everybody knows durians, but you can't find anybody in Korea know how to farm durians.
Well, we don't want everyone here to farm durians because look at your history, right? You started in 2007. In really under 13 years, you have grown this business incredible, right? Nearly ₱500 million in 10 years because your first product was sold in 2010. My question to you then is, do you think Malaysia has the right environment to nurture future businesses like yourselves to become MNCs?
There is. I think the environment, I think quite a number of factors are in Malaysia. But the only thing what we lack of is the vision of the owner or the person running the business. To a certain extent that we are very conservative, means that we only want to do one thing and we are very easy to go into the comfort zone. So why I need to do the 10 years to make after the IPO, I can actually enjoy my time and just look at one product and do it in Penang. So easily I can make 100 over million, 200 million. I think the Penang contribute about 200 over million ringgit's account top line. And more challenge to have a 10 years to make and go everywhere and get the material business. Because we want to make bigger dream. We want to make it to be a bigger organization that we can have more products. So I think we need more businessmen have this mentality. Otherwise, that we can see that for the past 20 years, you look at the 20 years in Penang, the technology company, from the day one that we have very, very good equipment makers like LKP. They are listed company in Malaysia. So they have been a very successful company. They have a lot of good products. So that is in the 90s. But where are they today? So this is not whether we have the talents or not. Malaysia have a lot of talent. Everybody are good. But we need to have more visionaries, businessmen.
On the Breakfast Grill with Kwang Ing Oh, Group Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director at MI Technovation. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.